Bless you, as you may be seated this evening. We give everyone a very warm welcome in their service. In the name of the Lord, praise God. Something I'm dying to tell you, and I'm going to tell you it. You know, when I seen Larry this morning, he's coming in, he hasn't been here for a few weeks. Laurie was away in Portrush for 4 days on a holiday. You'll be surprised. But I'll tell you, Laurie's more about himself than you'll give him credit for, my life, and all of it. But what I thought of when the old man said Portrush was Brother Sammy. And I was thinking about Sammy this last couple of days, missed Sammy. But I remember Sammy and us. I think some of the family was with him, and we went to Portrush. And our Daniel was like Jonah here, or Sam's lad there, but that sort of an age. It's a few years ago, maybe Sammy wasn't here long. And now we'll do our Daniel, he's getting one of them surfboards that you go out in the water with. And he says, Dad, you need to get me one of them surfboards. Now, we weren't expecting really to go on the beach or nothing, but now we'll do our Daniel, he was getting a surfboard. And he got the surfboard, and we went down onto the beach, and we're like a sore thumb, because everybody else was ready for swimming, and all the rest of us, good weather. And here Sammy says to Daniel, let me see that surfboard. And Sammy headed out in the surfboard. And I'm not kidding you. I thought he was going back to Scotland. As you know, Sammy was from Scotland. And I'm telling you, he went out. Do you remember that car? I mean, he went out in that thing. And he went that far out. The lifeguard went out to get him turned back. And the lifeguard turned him back. He was out that far in the surfboard. And I says, Sammy, boy, I thought you were going to go home, back to Scotland. And he came back in and he was soaked, absolutely soaked. And he drove the car home with the wet trousers. No, is that right, Karen? But I was thinking about that when Brother Laurie about Portrush, I was thinking about that this morning. And Sammy had got out that surfboard. I tell you, it's great, Mammy. You know, when anywhere I went preaching, Sammy would have went with me. And he was always great crack. And me and him was meant to go around all them islands in Scotland for the revivals and all were. But we never got to do it. So Matthew, you may get booked in by it. Because we're still going. By God's grace, round all them islands, all them wee places that I've read about and everything, for God moved mightily. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight, and I want to talk tonight about the value of the blood, and I'm coming on a different angle than I've came before. And I started studying this and reading on Saturday, and God clearly, I believe, spoke in me to preach on the blood. And there's so many things I could have preached on. And then I was saying, Lord, I preached so many sermons on the blood, and I want something a bit different. And the God gave me this. Let us stand our feet tonight. I want to read 1 Corinthians 6:20. And I want to say at the start, any attempt to reevaluate the blood of Jesus Christ, or what I mean is to put a price on it, any attempt to evaluate it, not reevaluate it, in terms of price, would be impossible, for it's precious. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, ye are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand before the Lord. Praise God. Those that were prayed for this morning, you believe God's done it for you. Praise God. What a wonderful time this morning. You believe the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the wonderful mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we've come to lift your name. I pray that you'll give us inspiration of the pages of this book tonight, the Bible. Inspire your people and inspire this preacher. I take the Holy Ghost right now. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Pray for every hand raised that you'll meet every single need in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, for those that were prayed for this morning and how the Holy Spirit spoke to us, speak on, move on. And oh God, we thank you for those you've touched. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. You may be seated, praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 7:23, you're bought with a price, be ye not servants of men. We're bought with a price, and the price is the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19 calls it, the precious blood is Jesus Christ, which is incorruptible. And we're bought with the incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls it precious blood. Precious blood. Now we're going to go back to get forward. Because I want to show you something. And when you talk about expenses. And a brother was going through the Old Testament this morning. And I'm going to go back into it again here this evening. Because the Old Testament helps us to appreciate the new even better, doesn't it? When the temple was dedicated on Mount Moriah, the actual account of animals slaughtered was amazing. Before the Ark of the Covenant was brought in, it is recorded that the sacrificing, praise God, that the sacrificing of the animals slaughtered couldn't even be numbered. couldn't even be numbered or counted. Before the Ark of God, the sheep, the oxen, they couldn't be told for number. In 1 Kings 8 verse 5, King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel were assembled unto him, were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. 2 Chronicles 5, 6, also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark, sacrificed sheep and oxen which could not be told or numbered for multitude. In 1 Kings chapter 8, I'm not turning to it, we're told that the peace offering was later made on behalf of the whole nation of Israel. And it was recorded that 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep were sacrificed unto the Lord. Now just to give you a wee example, and our brother Brandon had calculated in filling lorries with blood, but I'm working it a bit different tonight. If you were to put the carcasses of the bodies that were sacrificed out, you would need over 100 football playing fields to hold all what was sacrificed. That's how much it was. Now I want you to think of the value of this tonight. Now I want you to think of 22,000 oxen. And I want you to think in today's prices. I was talking to a fella this week, and he was doing curbs on a job I was on down in Lisburn. And I was saying to him, a side boy, he was a farmer. And I said, the price of cattle's great at the minute. And he said, it is. He says, I sold a wee bull 15 months. They were Charlie's cattle. John would know about Charlie's and Pells and Blues. I think his was a cross, John, or his pedigrees as well. He was Charlie's. £2,500 for one wee bull. It wasn't maybe a wee bull, but young bull. So you think, even if you counted these oxen, and oxen's maybe dearer than cattle, if you were to count these oxen, we'll say £1,500 a piece, and there was 22,000 of them sacrificed here. Think of the price of it. Think of the value of it. And then if you were to count 120,000 sheep, and a good lamb is worth £100. And a full-grown sheep must be worth more than that. Think of the price of it. Think how much it cost. In 1 Kings 8, verse 63, and Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offering, which he offered unto the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. Now I want you to think also this evening, this was one sacrifice. These sacrifices were made again and again and again. This wasn't just once what was done. Furthermore, we must remember that only the best animals were accepted for sacrifice by the Levites. No second hands were good enough. So if you had a wee bull with a twisted tail or a bad ear or lame in his foot, it's no use. You can't offer him. Only the best. And the same with the lambs or the sheep, only the best. Now, no seconds. Many would think this would be senseless waste, wouldn't it? And would not one sheep or a small, inexpensive lamb be enough? Surely, if God wanted to keep the type right, one little lamb would have been enough to typify the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. But no 22,000 oxen worth maybe $1,500 to $2,000 each. In today's money, that's a lot of money. And also 120,000 sheep had to die. Store lambs, £100 a piece. Grown sheep go up to double. But this, I believe, that God is trying to press upon us The value of the blood cannot be measured in money or in gallons. The value of the blood is impossible to measure in money or in gallons. And we're speaking tonight about the blood of an oxen and a sheep that was offered before the Lord. And the Bible calls the blood of Jesus Christ precious. And I don't think we fully understand, none of us, or realize how rich Solomon was. Brother Gary mentioned Solomon this morning and the descendants anyway. He was rich. We have no idea how rich them men was in the Bible. You see, the many sheep and stuff they had, it's nothing for them. And you know, I was thinking of a scripture the other day. I was somewhere and was thinking about God meeting needs, and it struck my heart. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and all the silver and gold is mine, saith the Lord. And not even a sparrow falls to the ground, but God sees it. God owns it all. There's people down here looking after some stuff, but God owns it. It's the Lord's. The earth and the fullness is the Lord's. The Lord owns it. And the Lord owns you if you're saved. And he's redeemed you and he's bought you. And you're bought and you are paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the precious blood of Jesus Christ is more valuable than 22,000 oxen. It is more valuable than 122,000 sheep. It's more precious. The blood of Jesus. No amount of blood of animals in the Old Testament could have atoned for your sins or mine. And on the Day of Atonement, the brook Kirron was fed with the blood of animals that flowed continually for days, reminding the inhabitants of Jerusalem that when God caused his son to die, he opened a fountain that flows forever and forever. You see, this business of God's mercy finishing and the blood finishing is all false teaching. We have to believe the book of Psalms. Psalms says his mercy endure forever. Means what it says. And I tell you, his blood's incorruptible. It's powerful. And it flows tonight, and even in the great tribulation. Who are these that come out of great tribulation with the robes washed in the blood of the Lamb? Still working. Zechariah says in 13 verse 1, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. There's a fountain tonight open. There's a fountain open tonight for the unclean. And I tell you, this fountain is for the whosoever will. This is not for the self-righteous or the goody two-shoes. But Jesus Christ died for all that will come. Whosoever will may come. That's who it's for tonight. John saw him and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He is the taker away of sin. He's a savior for no one but sinners. Jesus Christ. Thank God for that river that continually flows. And we can come at any time and wash away our sins and sicknesses and sorrows. This stream ever flows so that we can sing about it. We can talk about it. We can plead it loud. We're to pray and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our sons, over our daughters. We are to use the weapon God has given us. The blood of Jesus Christ, you know what it does? It pleads mercy. It pleads forgiveness. It pleads pardon. It pleads healing. It pleads protection. It pleads forgiveness. Multiplied joy and peace. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ brings and pleads. Unlike the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel was spilled on the ground and God heard it. And God responded to it. But Abel's blood was crying for vengeance against Cain. But when the blood of Jesus Christ cried from under the thorns on the cross, it cried, Father, forgive them. For they know not what to do. Hard to forgive somebody, isn't it? Especially when you're rubbed up the wrong road. And I don't know what it is with me, but people's a habit of doing it. And after all these years, it's still hard. And I tell you, it's difficult, but you have to give it to the Lord. Thank God for the river. Thank God for this peace. It is not just enough to believe in the blood as historic blood. But like Reinhard Bonnke said, it's like the bar of soap. The bar of soap, you can have it, you can buy it, you can have it in your pocket or in your bathroom, but that bar of soap will never clean you until you wash in it. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what soap you use, any of you. And I'm not even sure what soap we use. Sometimes it could be a green bar soap or a white bar. And I bring home that red stuff now and again. My grandmother had it. And the wife, she hates it. But I think it's all right. It gives you a good detergent. But these young girls probably wouldn't use it now. It's no real smell, scent of it. But here's what I'm telling you. When you wash in soap and you wash yourself well in soap, you will smell like the soap. And I tell you, when you wash in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God will get upon you. Amen. And you begin to look like the Lord and smell like the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says the early disciples that took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus because they were close to him. May the Lord help us to get close. I tell you, no, love is only a word until it is demonstrated. And like many, blood is only a word until it is used. You know, in the time of war, and whether it's on a plane or a tank or any of the instruments that was used in war, they could have all the ammunition, they could have all the weapons, you could have a gun, you could have the enemy in front of you. But if you never use the ammunition, you'll never kill your enemy. And God has given us precious ammunition. And 1 Peter 18 and 19 tells us the blood of Christ precious, and we have precious ammunition. And Revelations tells us that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Revelations 12:11 in the word of our testimony. God has given us weapons, and we need to use them. God doesn't give you ammunition that you don't ever use it. You need to use the ammunition. And you know how you become to be a good shot. Brother John here, I hope he doesn't mind me saying, but he's a brilliant shot. He's a real good shot. But he practices now and again. Now I know some people would let on to never practice at all. But John can tell you, we come with a group of boys, they never practiced any, but we caught them, didn't we, John? They were in practicing before the show. So then when us greenhorns come in, you know. But I'll tell you one thing. You say, but I'm not a very experienced Christian. You need to start practicing with the weapons you have. You need to start practicing. And I tell you, when you get the real target, you'll be fit to hit it, but start practicing. Amen. And you said, I've only laid hands on somebody once and they weren't healed. Well, keep on doing it because somebody's going to get healed. Keep on at it. Hallelujah. Witnessed once, but they never were saved. Keep on witnessing. Somebody will get saved. I would have pleaded the blood over my children. They're not saved yet, but one day they're going to come. Keep on pleading the blood of Jesus over them. Use the ammunition. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God and the blood. And I've quoted your Revelations 12 and 11. Now we must remember that the sacrifice of blood made by King Solomon did not end the sacrifices. There were daily sacrifices to remind the people of the present power and efficacy of the blood. No yesterday leftovers could be accepted. So the sacrifice Solomon did at one time would not do at another time. No leftovers. Just like the children of Israel when they traveled through the wilderness. God fed them fresh manna every day. They actually were forbidden to eat it if it was off. They weren't to eat it. And I tell you, God gives us fresh manna. And I want to tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed 2,000 years ago and the gospel message that's been preached for all these years is as fresh today, it's as powerful today, it's as strong today as it was the first time it was preached. It's living. There's a life in it. Because the Bible says that Jesus offered himself up through the eternal Spirit. And he ever liveth tonight to make intercession for the saints of God. I want to say the blood of Jesus Christ is new, it's fresh today, as when it was shed at the cross. The daily shedding of blood should remind us of the value God puts on the blood. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. You know, when you take the blood out of the gospel, you're not preaching the gospel. You can preach whatever you want, but it's not the gospel. Because the gospel is living, it's active, it's full of efficacy and vitality because of the blood of Jesus. And Leviticus teaches me that life is in the blood. And we can avail of that life tonight. And I tell you, when the blood cell broke, a prophet of God said, the life of God was released, which is the Holy Ghost coming back on the believer. And then when we go over to Romans, we read of the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken, make alive your mortal body. The blood offering was tremendous, and it proved us the tremendous meaning and the value of the blood of the Lamb of God. The great day of atonement held annually, there was also the scapegoat taken off into the wilderness. And he had a great meaning in the type of Christ who took the condemnation and the curse of the sin of the people. And he carried it away onto an uninhabited place. They released the scapegoat. Before they let him go, they put their hands on him. They confessed their sins. And the one took him out and released him into the uninhabited place. Leviticus 16:22. And I tell you, when we place our hands on the Son of God by faith, our sins are took away forever from the memory and the mind of God. I want to tell you that sins of your youth are gone. There's no sin ever that will be coming against you on the day of God's great judgment because if you're a believer tonight and you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins and iniquities, God says, I will remember them no more. They're washed away into the sea of God's gratefulness. God can do something we can't. He can forgive our sins. We'll remember them, but God doesn't. Don't let the devil condemn you for one more minute. Oh, but brother, I fell short this week. The blood still lays there for you. Some offering represented the broken covenant between God and man caused by their original sin. And again, we are taught that God and man can only be reconciled by blood. God and man can only be reconciled by blood. God and man cannot be reconciled by the orange order or any other order. And they can't be reconciled by a message movement or a Baptist movement or a Presbyterian movement or any other movement will never reconcile God and man. But only the blood of Jesus Christ will reconcile God and man. Only the blood. Thank God for the blood tonight. There were daily and evening sacrifices with a double burnt offering on the Sabbath as well as a burnt offerings on the great festivals or special Sabbaths. All these typified Jesus Christ, who made a full surrender of his life by pouring and shedding his blood willingly and freely on the cross. Abel's life was wickedly took from him by Cain. He wasn't a willing sacrifice. His life was took from him by the hands of his brother, his half-brother. It was stolen from him. But Jesus Christ willingly gave his life as a sacrifice. Here's a statement we make, but we don't realize the truth of it, the power of it. He's a living sacrifice. All them other sacrifices are dead. Their carcasses is lying. Back to the dust, but Christ is alive. He's alive. Thank God for tonight. His blood a perfect sacrifice and our stead consumed in the very heat of his great sufferings on the cross. The value of the blood is also taught by the great number of lambs slaughtered in the annual observance of the Passover. In this annual event, the head of each family would bring a lamb for a sacrifice unto the Lord. I'm quoting you now from Josephus. Pastor Ken Davison gave me a book as thick as that by Josephus, and I thought, goodness, how I ever read that. But Josephus was a man of God, wasn't he? Great man of God. Josephus. I might be saying it right, but you know what I mean anyway. According to Josephus, Wars, chapter 6, 9 to 3. 10 persons was the least number and 20 the greatest permissible number of persons who could partake of a single Passover lamb. 10 was the least, 20 was the greatest. So let's say 15 people. So for every 15 people, there had to be a lamb provided. Think of this. I like counting. I was always good at counting. My granddad told me when I was a young fella, my granddad McKinstry, he says, boy, you can count. You'll be good with money. No good at spelling or nothing, but I could count. I think he could count too. Praise God. If one lamb was slain for 15 persons on an average throughout the nation, then for 2.5 million people at the time of the Exodus, 160,000 lambs were slain on that historic night when the bonds of Egypt give way before the blood. When we read of Moses leaving and all them people leaving, we do not ever comprehend how much was done and what it really represented. The power of God, the sacrifice they made, they had some clout. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. No. I want you to know all them old Egyptians and all their fancy women and their looking glasses were hot. That the Israelites got the whole lot of them. They took all of them. And they were glad to get rid of them because of the plagues of God. And Israel didn't go out beggars. They went out rich, blessed, under the atonement, under the power of that sacrifice. And with money in their pocket, money in their carts, with their oxen and their asses and their sheep and their cattle and all their children. And the Bible says there wasn't a feeble one amongst them. And better than that, Joseph's bones were carried up out of Egypt. Hallelujah. To fulfill every word of God. What a God we serve. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So is the word of the Lord. God's word cannot fail. He's a mighty God, isn't he? Slain on that day. The time of Solomon, the population had increased to 5 or 6 million persons. Hear me this evening. I'm not going to be much longer. So the great slaughter of lambs by all who were able to take part may be estimated to be around 400,000 lambs. Want you to think of 400,000 lambs a day. What would the farmers here in Ireland think? And in England, if you said, likewise. We need to get carried up 4,000 lambs. And what about the value of 400,000 lambs? Not 400,000. What about the value of 400,000 lambs? We're working with a God tonight. He's no pauper. I want you to know you're working with a God tonight. He's rich. God can bless you above what you ever dreamed possible. He wants to do it. He had a king and he made him eat grass. Then he turned him and he blessed him. God can do it. He sets up and he ticks down whom he will. He's in full control tonight. What would the farmer say? But thank God what we read here in 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. We don't need any of them lambs tonight. We don't need any of them oxen tonight. For we had one lamb of God. Amen. And if you put all them thousands of oxen and all them thousands of lamb on a scale, and you put Jesus Christ in the other side, he outweighs it all. For he's the sinless, the blameless, the spotless Lamb of God. And the Bible says, who takes away the sin of the world. And he's living tonight. Amen. Living tonight. No longer are we expected to take the lamb for 15 persons or offer its blood upon sins or anything like that. But the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his wounds, his stripes were healed. Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2:24. These are the scriptures that tell us. And then you go to Luke's gospel and you'll be reading it's fulfilled through Christ. When Isaiah spoke in 53. He's our healer tonight. He's our Savior tonight. He's our baptizer in the Holy Ghost and he's our common King. Now I could go on tonight, but I'm not. Preaching is a short message. I have more here. Lots more. But I want us to stand our feet. You know, I want to do something a wee bit different. Good to do something different, isn't it? I want us to give time that you can sing about the Lamb. You see the fella last night? What fella? I don't know if he's meant to lead the singing or not, but usually the people that do it over there. But this fella led another meeting I took. And it was great. He was good on the guitar, brother, and he had her tuned into one of them boxes there. Plenty of noise. I want to tell you this evening, don't be afraid of turning them instruments off, but the world turns them off. The wind is shaking. There's not a word about it. You can't get them loud enough. And we want to praise the Lord with all our might. But you know, he sang about the blood the whole night. And I was back in the room and I was preparing a wee message what I thought I was going to preach. And I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, no, I want you to preach on the blood. And I said, Lord, I've preached so much on it, keep on preaching on it. I told you here the other night, Bunky was going through a place in Africa. And through a wee village and he spotted a boy and he says, hi boy. Are you saved yet? And he says, no, I couldn't. It wouldn't last long. I got it. I said, what? He said, no, it wouldn't last long. My mom's a witch and her mom's a witch and her mom before was a witch. Bunky was asking the Lord what I said to him and he said, he gave him a stupid answer. Silly answer. He said, tell me this. So he said he couldn't breathe and that house was full of the devil. He said, if you're on the moon, could you breathe? And he looked at Bunky and he couldn't answer him. Bunky said the answer is yes and no. And he said, if you were set on the moon now the way you are, you'd die. But if you had the right suit on you, the space suit, you could breathe on the moon. And he says, when you get washed in the blood of Jesus, there's a mark comes on you. And the Holy Spirit wraps himself around you. And you can go into where them witches are. And you'll be fit to breathe. Oh, we need to believe it like that. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, says the Lord. Hallelujah! No weapon that's formed against you can prosper. The devil will curse you. Everyone cursed me this week to my face. And it's walking along thinking what it's going to do. And the flesh would have took him in two. But I couldn't do that. Christ had a good meeting on the one night and I knew he would put his head up. And then there's more meetings coming and I says, Tommy, you know who that is. But there's one thing that devil forgot. Touch not my anointed servant.
Amen.
Do my servants and my prophet no harm. And I tell you, God will deal with our enemies. David said, let them fall in the pit the dung for me, Lord. Let them fall in it. The Lord's your help of the night. Amen. Let's bow our head and the brother's going to come and lead us whatever the Lord leads. Praise God. If you want prayer, lift your hand up to the Lord this evening. And anyone listening in, may God touch you tonight. Devil's a liar. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord, that your blood's more precious than 22,000 oxen. And 120,000 sheep. The precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain from the very foundations of the world. Thank you, Lord, that you're seated at the right hand of the majesty and high tonight. And you ever liveth to make intercession for your saints. Father, you see people in this room right now that's troubled. Lord, that the enemy would poke at. But Lord, we come against the devil tonight. Not our own might nor strength, but by the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we curse every demon power. And we said, devil, get back. In Jesus' name. We plead the merits of the blood of the Lamb on everyone in this house. Everyone listening in. Everyone in our homes and our families. We plead the power, the merit, the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ upon them tonight. And we pray for healing, for wisdom, for deliverance, for joy in the Lord. Touch your people. Touch your lips that they'll praise you. Touch your hands that they'll uplift and lift unto the Lord. We thank you for your presence this day. Bless your people tonight as your brother comes. Bless and strengthen the brothers well for the virtue gone forth. And each one in this house tonight, Father, bless them. Bless them away above what they ever dreamed possible. For ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. We'll be back on Thursday night, Lord willing, and the Lord's always willing. And maybe Samuel, you could preach next Sunday night. God bless you, brother. God bless each one as your brother's going to lead us in songs.
Amen. Praise God. I think we need more volume too. So we do. And my dad was saying to me last night about these instruments. He says, you need to get them plugged in to the main speaker that comes out, these speakers. And you know he's right, because I come down there this evening and the microphone's over here and this wee amplifier's here, and I was standing there and I couldn't hear it. And I think to myself sometimes, I can't hear it because I'm behind them. And I don't know if you can hear it or not, but I don't think they're loud enough. I think we need more volume. I really do. Maybe we could look into it, getting the microphone that we need. Matthew would know probably. I'm not up in high tech, but there's maybe a special end that plugs into the floor here, or plugs in behind, where the sound comes through the big speakers rather than this wee amplifier here. You know, it's been really such a blessing. I'm really encouraged with the young children here, or the young children, the young adults now getting that way, aren't they? I'm really blessed that they're bringing their instruments to church. And I want to do all to encourage them and to keep them going and going forward. You know, whenever we started out, we were completely a cappella. We hadn't got an instrument hardly till our name. Maybe the odd tambourine and that was all. And we started out dry. And we've been praying for instruments for a long time. And I think when I was 18, I think my sister's got me a guitar for my 18th birthday. But it lay in the cupboard for a long time. I never lifted it. I never looked the road of it. And then was about 20 or 21, I was a friend of mine who was playing a guitar, and I started to play along a wee bit, and I learned three chords, G, C and D, and was actually learned five, the G, C or four and A. And then I started just picking up little chords, but the first time I brought the guitar to church, I played All for Jesus and Amazing Grace, and that was only two things I could play. Only could play two things. And you know, I'm not great on the guitar by any means, but we get by. But you know what's great? Because now we've been able to take on a lot more. Then after that, Mark, he got married to a woman who could play the piano. Praise God. Alva came along and we had a guitar and the piano. And then we're still praying for more instruments. And lo and behold, look what we've got now. We've two violins going, a tin whistle and a keyboard and a piano and a guitar and maybe a couple of tambourines. But it's growing. Let's keep it going. You know, it's been such a blessing. Lately, we've maybe going some places to bring the children with us. If we're asked to preach, they always ask that the children will play. And you know, you wouldn't believe the way people was blessed with young people. They're really encouraged when they see young ones playing an instrument for the Lord and serving the Lord. And you know, just last night we were up at my mum's. She had a bit of an evening and the children were there with their instruments. You know, people were blessed. They're really encouraged. And on Friday night, we went down to visit Ruth's great aunt. She's 90 years of age, coming to be 90, I think, tomorrow. And we're having a bit of a party for her today. But she lives in a small house and it wouldn't accommodate everybody. So we went down on the Friday evening and the woman's not a saved woman. But she was reared, or she lived her life and maybe went to church, belonged to the PW. I didn't know what the PW was, but it's the Presbyterian Women. And I was talking to her sister and she was saying that, you know, she always went there faithfully. She went to church, but maybe hadn't got much truth. I'd never made a profession to be saved, and she's heard the gospel many times and never made a profession. But you know, while we were playing the hymns, the children were playing the hymns on their instruments, she started to sing along to Lost the Deer Ponds for the Water, and Here's Love Vast Across the Ocean. She was singing along. And I would ask this evening, when we pray, that you'll pray with me and agree with me in prayer that God would save that woman, 90 years old, that God would save her, because you know God's been gracious to someone to live that long. The time's short. She's not saved. And I would ask that you would join with me in prayer this evening while we pray. I'll pray before we sing, but God would save her. Her name is Evelyn Bickerstaff. Evelyn Bickerstaff. Now, I should have knew your second name, but it's bent from me. Evelyn Bickerstaff. Can we just pray for her, praise God, and agree with the Bible? The Bible says is if we agree on anything on earth, that God will make it to happen. What we bind on earth will be bound to heaven. What we loose on earth will loose in heaven. Lord, we bring before you this woman, yes, Evelyn Bickerstaff, before you tonight. Lord, melt the hardened heart in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, as Lord, the songs in her head, even as we heard Tommy saying the other night, Lord, how I used to sing that little chorus, I keep falling in love with him. And it got in the man's head that he woke up singing it, and the wife couldn't understand it, but it was there. I pray, Lord God, that she'll wake up singing, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. And here's love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. And all the other hymns, Lord, that she knew and heard, and the gospel and the truth she knows and heard, I pray, Lord God, it'll be constantly in her. And Lord God, she'll not escape from it, and you'll melt that heart, break up the stony ground, and let her receive the word of God, and may it take root downward and bear fruit upward. Save her soul in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we speak her name, Evelyn Bickerstaff, in the kingdom of heaven tonight. Lord, send the angel of God to minister to her tonight, and the Holy Ghost to speak to her afresh and convict her heart of sin, that she will know and realize, Lord Jesus Christ, that she needs you above everything else. She needs you, Lord Jesus Christ. Save her, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask this in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to sing that little chorus. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. And you know, as a believer, the blood should never, ever become too familiar to you. Never should ever become, oh, it's just the blood. It's the most important thing. You know, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the life of this gospel is in the blood as well. That's where the life comes from. It's in the blood. Praise God. Amen. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. Oh, the Bible. We'll sing it before we go. We'll get John to close in prayer, and then we'll sing it. In times like this, you need a Bible. Praise God. We sang that when we were with Brother Frank, so we did. Amen. Let's just hand the word to Brother John.
Father, again tonight, we thank you for the preaching of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the cross. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Lord, that's the place where you shed your blood.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, that the hymn writer could pen the words and say, and the blood shall never lose its power.
Amen.
Till all the ransomed church of God be saved,
yes,
to sin no more. Lord, we thank you for that blood tonight. We say his blood atoned for me. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, that was the day of atonement,
yes,
that day at Calvary. And Lord, we bless your name. We thank you, Lord God. You said to Abraham, the Lord God will provide himself a,
yes,
sacrifice for sin. And Lord, he looked that day and he saw a lamb caught in the thicket.
Yes.
And Lord, it was a type of you, type,
yes,
of the Lamb of God to,
yes,
take away the sin of the
world. Amen.
And Lord, we bless your name tonight, that there's still the power in the blood.
Mm.
We thank you, Lord, for the life,
yes,
that's behind that blood.
Yes,
come,
yes,
back on the church.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Pentecost.
Amen.
And we ask that that same Spirit will come on us.
Yes.
Every time we call upon that name.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And every time we think upon your word, Lord.
Jesus.
Bless your people now and say us to our homes in safety.
Uh-huh.
In Jesus' name, we say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll sing that hymn, Matthew. In times like these, you need a Bible. Let us sing the first verse in the chorus before we begin to leave. And the pastor will make his way out to the door. And he'll bless you, and you bless him as you go. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. In times like these, you need a Saviour. That's how it starts. Amen. Lord bless and have a blessed week to the Lord. In times like these,